So, making room for Christmas. Today, on this third Sunday of Advent, we're going to hear the story of Mary and Elizabeth from Luke's Gospel, two women who were the very first to make room in their hearts and in their lives for the astonishing news of Jesus' birth. After learning from the angel Gabriel that she would give birth to a child who would save his people from their sins, Mary went running to her cousin, Elizabeth. In the mixture of wonderment and fear that must have been running through Mary's soul, she went to the one person who would get it. For Elizabeth was in the midst of her own unconventional pregnancy. Late in life, Elizabeth and her husband, Zechariah, were told by God that they would have a child. This child would grow up to be John the Baptist, the messenger who would prepare the way for the coming of Jesus. Now, 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary knocks at her door, breathless. And our Advent conspiracy theme, Give More, comes to life in the meeting of these two women. As a baby leaps and blessings are shared, making room for Christmas. As we prepare to listen to their story, let's listen first for the Spirit who brings God's word to light. Let us pray. Blessed are we, loving God, as we rejoice in your love and light today. As we make room for Christmas, let your word be the lamp to our feet and the light to our path. Breathe with us, that we with Mary may sing about the great things you are doing with us and in our world. Amen. Listen now to these words from Luke's Gospel. I'm reading from chapter 1, verses 39 through 46, and listen for God's word to you. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Give more. After writing a pastor's message for the newsletter this week, which celebrated your generosity, it seems a bit daunting to face this theme today. So this morning, I don't want to talk about your money or your time. I'm not looking for more packages under the tree or more dollars on the checks in the mail or more hours of volunteer service. Today, I want to talk about blessings. Many of us are accustomed to counting our blessings as we awaken to the goodness in our lives, to the gift of life itself, and to the beauty and wonder of this world that God has made. We know what a blessing is when it's offered over a meal at the table or at the end of a worship service in the sanctuary. But I wonder how many of us think about a blessing as something we give. In his book, Sabbath, Wayne Muller writes about Ethan, who gives a weekly blessing to his daughter by putting his hand on her head and offering a prayer for her strength and happiness and well-being. And then he also writes about Sharon, who practices guerrilla compassion by silently blessing people online, at the bank, at the supermarket, or in the cars next to her in traffic. Each blessing, a secret sanctuary offered to a hurried and unsuspecting world. To give a blessing, we have to see each other and our world through God's eyes. We have to refrain from making judgments about who or what is bad or good, worthy or unworthy, and instead call out the holiness in everyone and everything. To give a blessing is to express unconditional positive regard. And why would we do that? According to Mary, it's because the world is about to turn. My soul magnifies the Lord, Mary sings, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then Mary sings a blessing of a God who brings down the powerful and lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Strangely, wonderfully, Mary's blessing sings that God not only will do these things, but also has already done them. She sings as if it has happened, as if God has already made things right. She sings as if the redemption and restoration of the world have been accomplished. And all of this, Mary sings before Jesus was born. And her song makes room for Christmas. Her song makes room in her heart as in her womb for the impossible things that God is doing. It makes room for the joy of those who open themselves to God, even and perhaps especially as the world is about to turn. And Mary's song bubbles up from within her soul as she receives a blessing from her cousin Elizabeth. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. A threefold blessing that is music to Mary's ears. This blessing that Elizabeth speaks with her words and enacts in her welcome comes as the Holy Spirit fills her, and the child within her leaps for joy. Today, I wonder if we might conspire with God to give more blessing. We don't have to look far to see what is wrong, what is broken, what is missing, what is unfair. And there are plenty of landing places in our hearts for disappointment and fear and fatigue. To make room for God's turning of the world that also turns our lives upside down, to welcome the Christ who comes to us with love, we're going to need landing places for blessings. And that's why we're here today, because we want to stick to the script of the story that changed the course of human history, because we want the life-changing, world-turning arrival of Jesus to land right here, in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, in our sanctuary, in our community, in our world, as it did for Mary and Elizabeth. And we need each other as much as they did. Our children did such a beautiful job of telling us the story. They all played their parts perfectly in the drama of redemption and salvation that the birth of Jesus embodied. And someday, maybe even today, they'll realize, as we do, that God wants more from us than telling the story and playing our parts. We're called to live it. We're invited to be the ones through whom God comes again and again and again to bring peace on earth, to deliver goodwill to all. In a world that doesn't seem to have much room for Christmas, this is no small calling. And so we need to be gathered, enfolded, welcomed, and blessed by each other. Young ones and older ones who give one another blessings. Just imagine what could happen in your family at home and our church family here at Crossroads if you gave your blessing to loved ones this Christmas. If you called out the love and holiness in each other. And just imagine what could happen in the spaces between us if we began to offer silent blessings to the strangers around us we encounter every day. May you be happy. May you be at peace. May you know that you are loved by God. And what if we blessed God for the world that's about to turn? What if we magnified the Lord like Mary in spite of our fear? What if our spirits rejoiced with God's Spirit, anticipating what God is about to do as if it's already done? Would such a blessing stir up in us the strength, the capacity, the joy to participate with God in bringing about this redemption in this time, in this world, with our very own hands and feet and hearts? Why, this blessing might even be enough to cause an outbreak of holy song, as it did among our children this morning, following Mary's lead. Music to our ears, blessings that not only make room for joy, but also make room for Christmas. May it be so among us. Amen.